Turn back to Job chapter 9. Job learned. He learned that by experience after he went through all this. I titled the message, Who Am I to Contend with God? Just keep that in mind as time and life goes by. Who am I to contend with the Almighty? What do I know? What do I know? I have forgotten most of what I've known. Somebody was talking to me about something, some mathematical stuff that I learned in school. I said, I don't remember that. I can't remember that anymore. What are you talking about? I have forgotten so much. What do I know? As we have seen, Job has been justifying himself before his friends who have charged things against him that were not so. They accuse him of being a hypocrite, or that he must have done something to have caused this great trial. His ten children must have done something for God to kill them. And Job's had to deal with that. But Job never tries to justify himself before God. He knows what he is. He knows that he's still full of sin. And that no man can contend with the Almighty. You and I can contend with each other. And I might try to justify myself before you if someone charges me something that's not so. But you know, before God, I know what I am. I know what I am. He says in verse 11, Lo, he goeth by me. Here's how perceptive we are. He goes by me, and I see him not. Did you recognize God going by you today? Did you stop today and recognize that the Lord's hand was in anything? Did you recognize it? Job says he goes by me and I see him not. He passes on also, but I perceive him not. God does all things, yet we perceive him not in all things. We ought to. We ought to. Sang that song, In the Rustling of the Grass. When the wind blows through the trees, do we perceive God's hand in that? We should be, of all people, we should be so perceptive. We should be so in tune and keen to God's hand in absolutely everything. Not just the big things. Not just a tsunami or an earthquake or a tornado. But I mean in absolutely everything. Everything that moves, everything that has an existence, everything that happens, God's hand is in it. We'll see this here toward the end. I'm not going to go through all of this tonight. I don't have enough time. But we'll see this. We cannot grasp God's counsel, can we? Can we grasp such a counsel of wisdom, infinite wisdom? We cannot perceive his motions, his acts in all things. Nor can we comprehend his way. He said, my ways are higher than your ways. This is why he gives no account of any of his matters. If he did, you and I would not understand. You're like someone trying to explain Greek to me. Just, it's Greek. I would not understand it. His ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are far above our thoughts. God does nothing in the way we think he ought to do it. I can look back in life And I can look back over certain situations and this is the way I think it ought to be done. And it goes kaput. I thought, man, I thought that was what I should have done, or that's the way to do it. We have no concept of how far God's way is and His thoughts are above us. No concept. Now that being so, me being that ignorant, a tough word, isn't it? Tough word. We don't like to be thought of that, of being ignorant at all. I don't like somebody to call me ignorant. But in comparison to the knowledge of God and the wisdom of God, I am an ignorant fool. I am so ignorant. And that being so, who am I to sit in judgment of what God is doing? What are you doing? You ever have anybody say that? You ever say it to your kids? What are you doing? And I've said it before God. What's going on? What are you doing? But I realize, and Job realizes this, if he told me, I wouldn't understand. Just trust me. You just trust me. I know what I'm doing. The judge of the earth will what? Do right. He will do right. And now Job recognizes God's indisputable sovereignty in all things. Behold, give attention to this. He taketh away. You know, when Job lost all that he lost there in that first chapter, those first two chapters, did he ever blame Satan? Did he ever say Satan took this away? He said, God taketh away. He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. He didn't say, he recognized the first cause of everything happened to him. God. God's hand is in it. God took it away. He takes away. Who can hinder him? Who can stop him? Who will say to him, what doest thou? What are you doing? Does God not have the right to take away as he sees fit? Does he not have that right? Does he not have that wisdom? Cannot he take away without answering to me? Absolutely. He can take away my health and not give me a reason why. And I tell you what, if he takes away my health, he won't give me a reason why. He'll take it. He can take away my comfort. He has the right to remove my health. He has the right to remove my comfort. He has the right to remove all my friends. He has the sovereign right to remove all my family. Everything that I own belongs to Him. Doesn't it? Takes us a while to learn that, doesn't it? You know, we believe it when a person is born of God, that person believes the gospel. That person has been enlightened. But it takes time to roll by that you experience what you believe. And you come to realize that everything I have, He's given to me. What do you have, Paul said, that you didn't receive? And if you received it, then don't brag about it as though you come up with it. Daniel 4:35, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? All the prophets, all the old saints recognize God's sovereignty in all things. His indisputable sovereignty. And I'm glad he is. I'm glad God is sovereign. Everything God does is right. Everything He does is good. Everything He does is with infinite wisdom. Could anyone be any better? No. Has not the potter power over the clay? Do you parents not have power over your children? Does God not have the same right? Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that we send men and women into war to fight for our rights? That they die? That you and I may have the right to choose as to choose what we want to choose, to live where we want to live, work where we want to work, and at the same time we deny God the same right. Turn around and deny God Almighty the same right we fight and die for. Well, we can deny it. Men can deny it all they want. It's not going to do anything. You're not going to change it because He's the God. He's God. He's the sovereign. And who can hinder Him? Who can turn Him away? Who can say, hither shalt thou come and no further? Who can do that? Absolutely no one. God is God. Not only does Job recognize God's indisputable sovereignty, but he recognizes God's irresistible power. Verse 13, if God will not withdraw His anger, if, there's a big word for us, if God will not withdraw His anger, the proud helpers do stoop under Him. No one can resist Him. If God will not withdraw His anger, Here's the display of God's mercy being over all His works. He does withdraw His anger, or the human race be wiped out. Wars would not cease. Let all the proud helpers come together against God. What can they do? If He will not withdraw His anger, He will absolutely crush them. Crush him like a moth. And then Job recognizes. He recognizes. He turns inward now. And he recognizes his own inability before God. How much less shall I answer? He puts himself even beneath all them. How much less shall I answer Him? And choose out my words to reason with Him. Job knew himself. What do I know? And think about this. What do I know about what God's doing? What do I know? I know some things. We know that. We know some things through the Word of God, through the Gospel. We know some things, but we don't know. We don't know the whole picture. I used to run a business up in Huntington for a man, and one of the things he would tell me, you need to see the big picture. You need to see the big picture. You know, I would be given to maybe this little detail or something like that, but you need to see the big picture. There's so much, the secret things of the Lord belong to the Lord. The revealed things belong to us and our children. How much is there yet for us to know after this life's over with? It's going to astound us. It'll be astounding. Now, seeing I don't know why God does what He does and everything and all things that are going on in this world, this country right now, I don't know. I'll be honest, I don't have a clue as to why, as far as the details go. I know what the end result's going to be. I know the whole church is going to be with the Lord and He's going to be glorified. All His people. But what went on today out there in the world and if you watch the news, I don't know. I know His purpose being done. I know that. Now, if I don't know, then how can I contend with Him over His dealings with me? How can I argue with Him? How can I contend with God? How much less shall I answer Him and choose out my words to reason with? I don't even know what words to use. I really don't even know what questions to ask. I know the questions that I would ask would be the wrong ones. I assure you, because it'd all be self-motivated. And then verses 15 through 19, Job sees his own weakness and sinfulness. He knows that he by himself cannot stand before God. How much less shall I answer him and choose out my words to reason with him? Whom though I were righteous, yet I would not answer him. You know, God's greater than my heart. He knows and sees sins that I don't see. And Job recognizes this. He recognizes his sinfulness. If I were righteous, though I were righteous, I would not use that as a means, as the grounds of contending with God. I wouldn't do that. Now, why would Job not do that? Because he's been taught of God. My righteousness, our righteousness are filthy rags. Well, Job, how are you going to do that? How are you going to handle this? But I would make supplication to my judge. I would not use my righteousness to contend with God, but I would sue for mercy. I would seek His mercy. If I had called and He answered me, yet would I not believe that He had hearkened unto my voice. I've read a lot of things today. This, I'll tell you, the book of Job is a very difficult book for me. All the books are difficult for me, but Job is a tough book. Because you're trying to enter into this man and his experience and what he's gone through and the pain and what's the inner workings of his mind. And this is a child of God. But he says, if I had called and he answered me, yet would I not believe that he had hearkened to my voice? You know, my pain, and whether this is hitting the mark or not, I really don't know, but it's something that the way I take it and I understand it this way. My pain and my trouble keeps me from believing that God is hearing my prayer. You ever been there? My trouble keeps me from believing that God is listening to me. David said one time, is the Lord clean gone? The heavens are like brass. Does your pain and suffering ever kept you from believing that God actually still hears your prayer? That's how painful this thing was for Job. And if He hears me, and if God is hearing my prayer, why am I thus? For He says in verse 17, well, let's read verse 16 along with it. If I had called and He had answered me, yet would I not believe that He had hearkened to my voice, for He breaks me with a tempest. It doesn't get any better. Have you ever prayed and it just gets worse? It doesn't get any better. If God is listening to me, if God is hearing my prayer, then why am I thus? For He breaks me with a tempest. That's not, I ask for mercy. And I keep getting in trouble. I ask for help, and I keep sinking. One of the things I want us to see here, and this to me has been a blessing to me, is how that Job is allowed to speak his mind before God. You might as well. He knows your mind anyway. Well, you think you're hiding it? Do it reverently. Now listen to me. Do it reverently, respectfully. And sometimes Job goes over the line, but I assure you, we will too. But speak your mind. Speak your mind. So often in prayer, we try to sound real spiritual. But I'll tell you this, when it hurts, that's when we sound real. What we're getting here is a real experience of a child of God under great pain. And He's speaking His mind. I like it when someone speaks their mind. as long as it's respectful. They speak their mind. And he says here, for he breaks me with a tempest and multiplies my wounds. He didn't just shoot me one time. You know, he didn't just take one shot at me, but he just shooting me time after time, arrow after arrow is hitting the mark. He's multiplying my wounds without a cause. Now listen, God does not do anything, especially with His children, without a cause. See, that's crossing the line. But I think He may be saying this. This is something that just struck me while I was reading this. When he's saying here, he multiplies my wounds without a cause. It may be that Job is saying, I don't know why God, or I don't know the cause of why God is doing this to me. I don't know. He says in one place, I'll go, look over in chapter 10. Let me see if I can find it. In verse 15, if I be wicked, woe unto me. If I be righteous, yet will I not lift up my head. I am full of confusion. He's sitting there, scraping those sores, and I can just see his head in his hand, and he's saying, I'm just so full of confusion. Just so full of it. I don't know. He says, I don't know why. What's going on here. I don't know. I know this. You friends are wrong. I'm not a hypocrite. I believe God. And no, I didn't do something so tragic that's done this. Job, I mean, like I said, you could pick a day and pick a sin and God could deal with us over it. We know why the sword never left David's house, don't we? His adultery with Bathsheba. The killing of Uriah. We know that. David knew that till the time he died, he knew why God dealt with him. But Job was saying, I just don't know. Think it not strange, Peter said. Think it not strange when fiery trials come upon you to try you. Think it not strange. Job didn't do something that caused this to happen. Satan said, let me at him. I can prove to you, like I did the first Adam, he'll fall. I can take him down just like I did the first one. Let me at him. And God let him. And Job never cursed God to his face, did he? Never did. But for whatever reason, Job needed that trial. One of the reasons is you and I needed to see it and hear the Word of God. We need to learn from it. Then Job needed it for himself. And then it was needed to be for God's glory. You know, the Scripture tells us over there, I believe it's in also in Peter, that if need be, you come into temptation, trials, and if need be. I thought of a title for a message while sitting up here a while ago. I wrote it down. If need be, you will be. If need be, you will be. If I need to go through a certain thing, if I need to, I will. God will put me through it. If I need to lose a certain thing, I will. If need be, I will be. That's why God put Job through this. Because it was needful. It was needful for him and for us and for the glory of Christ. Now, let me see if I find my place. Verse 18. He will not suffer me to take my breath. He won't let up. But you know, in all the sufferings that Job went through in this great trial, it still wasn't anything compared to the sufferings of our Lord. However painful, whatever I go through, however painful it may be, Remember this. Is there any sorrow like unto my sorrow, all ye that pass by? No matter how painful of the things that I go through, none of them are comparable in any way, shape, or form to the pain and the sorrow that the Lord Jesus Christ went through to redeem me, to redeem my soul. Even Job here with what we have here. He will not suffer me to take my breath. But he fills me with bitterness. Trials. That, you know, trials taste bitter, don't they? I've never had a trial that tasted sweet. I've never had a chastening that was sweet. He says, instead of filling me with joy, he fills me with bitterness. He feels the pain of it, but I tell you what, he also fights that inward sin that makes you bitter. You fight bitterness. You do. You fight it. You have to fight it because it rises up in you. You don't know how attached we are to these things until it's time to lose them. But God will not, he's saying this, God will not, at this, he will not let up on me. Job didn't think he'd ever see a good day. He didn't believe he'd ever see it. I remember my grandfather, before he passed away, he said, I cannot remember the last time I had a good day. Can't remember. Job, here's what I think is happening. And I like this as something I experienced one time. Job is spiritually disoriented. Right now, he's been hit. He's been hit so hard that he can't get himself together. He's staggered. He's staggered like someone in a boxing match. Years ago, when I was just a little more stupid than I am now, I boxed. And I boxed in Moundsville State Prison. I went up there with a team. We boxed. I boxed a prisoner up there. That guy was, I'm not making this up, he was chiseled out of stone. And I found out he'd had 100 fights. And I felt it too. I felt every one of them. He brought every one of them to the ring. And we were in that ring fighting. And one time he hit me. I mean, he hit me and it was just a flashing light. I could see nothing. Everything was just bright. I saw the bright light they talk about. It was nothing but a bright light. And next thing I know, the ref has given me a standing eight count. I'm getting a standing eight count. I was so disoriented. I was staggered. I mean, I was just like, he knocked the daylights out of me. It felt like, and I'm just telling you the experience of it. It felt like a truck hit me. And I didn't see it coming. Job didn't see this coming. He didn't see this coming. Those are the toughest ones. You don't see them coming. All of a sudden, you're just waylaid. And right now, what we are seeing is this. Job is spiritually disoriented. He's been hit so hard. I understand that. From that little experience there, I understand how what it is to be hit so hard that you don't know where you're at. He said, now if I speak of strength, lo, he's strong. If I'm going to puff out my chest, that ain't going to help because he said he's strong. He's power. God is sheer raw power. He is the embodiment of absolute power. I cannot take on God. I can't. Who am I to contend with Him? And if I'm going to talk of judgment, I'm going to take Him to court. One of the translations was this. You going to summon me to court? You going to summon God to court over the way He's dealing with you? Is that what you're going to do? Job saying, if I speak of strength, if I speak of taking Him on, He's strong. And if I'm going to talk of judgment, if I'm going to talk of summoning Him to court, who's going to set me a time to plead? I cannot dispute with God. Who do I think I am? If I justify myself, if I take him to court, if I summons God to court, and I stand in court and I try to justify myself, my own mouth will condemn me. What I have to say will the scripture says, by your own words you shall be condemned, by your own words you shall be justified. Now, if I take God to court over his dealings, every word comes out of my mouth will condemn me. If I say I'm perfect, that'll prove perverse, won't it? We can prove that perverse that fast. And God can prove it even faster. Job knew enough about God and himself not to justify his own righteousness. He said, my mouth will prove me wrong. Though I were perfect, let me move on. I'm going to take too long here. Though I were perfect, I wouldn't know my own soul. God knows it. God knows my soul. He knows it far more than I know it. He said, I would despise my life. Well, that's a good place to be brought to. He that hates his life shall find it. But Job was saying, if I believed that I was perfectly innocent, I would not use my perfection as a means to plead with God. Well, Job, what grounds would you plead on? The same grounds that David did in Psalm 51:1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. That's the way you want to deal with God. That's the way we do it. And then let me close. This is one thing, therefore I said it, right? I said this. Job said, I agree, and I meant this. I said this. God destroys the perfect and the wicked. Yes, I said it, and I'm going to stick to it. If the scourge slay suddenly, he will laugh at the trial of the innocent. The earth is given to the hand of the wicked. He covers the faces of the judges thereof. That's why there's so much injustice. God's allowed it. You said, now hold on, you're going too far with that. Well, if not, then Job says, where and who is it? Then you tell me who. You tell me who's running this, though, if that's not so. Ecclesiastes 2:14. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. And I myself perceive also that one event happens to every one of them. Happens to them all. Ecclesiastes 9:2. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean, and to the unclean, to him that sacrifices and to him that sacrifices not. As is the good, so is the sinner. And he that swears is he that swears as he that sweareth, and he that feareth an oath. There's one thing that happens to them all, the righteous and the unrighteous. They all die. We all grow old. And some of us don't even grow, some don't grow old. But we all die. All suffer. There's no one goes through this life that does not suffer. All suffer. No one escapes it. No one's going to escape death. No one's going to escape suffering. The wicked, for the most part, have the riches of this world. Who's the richest in this world? Who are the men that seems to have all the riches in this world? It's not those who believe God. I don't see them. I don't see them on television. I don't see them as the ones who have. No. I know men that are very rich. I've known men over the years, especially being in business, I've had to deal with some, that are very rich. And there's a few that come to mind. And I believe me. You wonder how God hasn't struck them dead. That's amazing to me, God hasn't struck them dead. But he doesn't. He doesn't. They even get more rich. It just seems like they can't quit getting rich. Remember how David was envious at the wicked? He said, there are no bands in their death. They're prosperous and their kids are happy. There's so much injustice in this world. And you know what Job does here? He doesn't blame Satan. Though Satan is the god of this ungodly world, Job recognizes, he's recognizing, and I tell you what, we cannot plumb the depth of what he's saying right here. He's recognizing that God's hand is in all of this. One way or another. He's allowing it. The whole world lies in wickedness from top to bottom. And for what reasons, known to God, he's allowing it. He allows the wicked to prosper. He allows injustice. He allows it. For a time. And for a purpose. Job said, I said it. You're right. I said it. I said it. He destroys the perfect and the wicked. They both die. That's what he means. They both die. And if the scourge slays suddenly, you know, you take that tsunami, it came through and just killed all those thousands of people. You think it was all wicked? I mean, you think it was all... There were some people in that, I'm sure, that died and went to be with the Lord. I can't, you know, I'm not going to try to get into this, you know, he laughs at the trial of the innocent, but I do know this. If I die in a storm, a believer, if I die in a storm, God's not upset over that. He just brought me home. He just brought me home. He used that means as a means to take me out of this world and bring me into his presence. Now, I don't know if all that fits right here, but I understand that. I understand that. And I understand he allows judges to sit on the bench and be unjust. And whatever he's done with them, he'll judge them. He's not the cause of their injustice, but he allows it to be so. Here's what I say in closing. Let us not find ourselves contending with God, pulling him into question, drawing him like you would someone to court. Answer to me why you're doing this. No, he's not. He's not going to do that. But let us bow before God. Let us be still and know that he is God. Let us submit to his sovereign rule over all things, trust his wisdom, and let us trust and know that in Jesus Christ, and that's why you sang that song, just at the end of this, fit it perfect. I wrote this down. We know that in Christ it is well with our soul. I can't contend. I don't know why. And that's all the whys in the world. But I know this. I know that my Father, my Heavenly Father, is infinitely wise, infinitely good, and everything, absolutely to the temperature of every day, is for me. It's for my good. And it's for His glory. And that in His Son, Jesus Christ, it is well with my soul.